Okay. Since we don't have the appropriate opening music this time, since I forgot my CDs, I don't know where they are. They're missing.
They're probably in your car somewhere.
Yeah, I know. That makes me mad about my car. We'll get to that in a little bit, but this is the UFM show. I can barely hear my headphones. It is the 9th of
November.
Yeah.
Don't make fun of me. I'm still sick a little bit.
I'm sorry. But you've got the UFM show today. We're going to talk about dreams and more about the ghosts that haunt the Great Salt Lake area. Because I forgot to do that when the ghost show was on. And Kia is with me today again. So, for those of you listening, you are listening on KU Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, KU.org, or 1620 if you live within like a 5-foot radius of the Union, which is terrible. You're also listening on 99.9 FM, which has a bigger radius, East Campus. We were listening to that on the way here, so it sounds pretty good. But you've got the UFM show. We're going to get some news going for you. We're going to start talking about dreams. The number to call is 585-3449. That's 801-585-3449. If you have a dream that you would like to tell us, we're going to try to interpret it the best we can tonight. That's our mission, is to interpret dreams. Isn't that right, Kia?
That's correct.
Yes, and we want as many of you as possible to call in with your dreams. And
We actually have a dictionary of dreams, so, you know, if you call in...
We'll try to interpret that.
Well, it's not like we're pulling things out of the air. We're going to read what the book says.
Yeah, but so. You can't always believe what you hear either.
That's true.
And I found that dream dictionaries vary a lot.
You're right, they do.
There's a couple online that are very nice, but they have different definitions. What was that? Did you feel that?
It was my phone buzzing on the table.
Oh. I was like, there's a ghost in here.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah, there's a ghost in my room, so I don't
know.
There
is a ghost in your room. I'm determined to catch it on camera, because we've gotten the EVP of it already, and you've got things being moved and knocked over.
And
randomly,
cell phones disappearing.
Randomly in your room. I'm positive that you have a ghost in there.
And cell phones disappearing. Did I tell you about that incident where I lost my cell phone and I couldn't find it for an entire hour or so?
Yeah, you were like 45 minutes late to class.
Yeah, because I couldn't find a cell phone. Yeah, that's stupid.
And don't you leave it in the same place every night before
you go
to bed?
I do. I leave my cell phone in the same exact spot every single night, and it was missing one morning. So I was like, what the heck happened?
The ghost wanted you to sleep more.
Yeah, just sleep more. Just sleep more. Justin, just sleep more. I don't know.
That EVP was really creepy.
I have to agree. But anyway, we've got some really cool news for you. The political show was last week.
That's right.
Or no, it was a couple weeks ago.
No, it was last week.
Are you sure? Yeah, it was last week.
It was last week.
Where's the time gone? The Democrats have control of the House of Representatives and the Senate.
Yay for the Democrats.
And
finally.
Bush, I don't know if you heard this. Your phone is buzzing. I don't know if you heard the press conference that Bush gave the other morning, Wednesday morning. Boy, was he mad.
He was so pissed.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I don't know if everybody knows this, but Rumsfeld has stepped down. He's no longer in office, thank God.
Yeah.
But Bush was really pissed about it. So, and it was funny because, according to Justin, he seemed a little incoherent
during his
press meeting. Like, he was so infuriated, he couldn't even get a sentence out right.
Exactly. This guy, Bush, was just terrible. He was answering a question on Nancy Pelosi. He was like, well, you know, I don't agree with it, and it was like that. He was talking like that. That's annoying. I don't know about you, but that's annoying. But anyway, we've got to take a look at some news here. Yeah, that's the biggest news we have, actually, today, is that the Senate was actually finally given over to the Democrats for the first time in like 10 years. Actually, 12 years. 1994 was the last time. But I'm trying to get my space open. Why don't you give us a little intro on dreams and what you know about dreams? I mean, I know you're not much of a dreamer yourself.
Well, according to you, I am. It's just a matter of remembering them or not.
Yes, because everybody dreams.
Okay, so people have dreams, obviously, and, you know, sometimes you remember them, sometimes you don't. and I don't know, is it, you dream when you're in REM sleep, right?
Yes, REM sleep.
Which is your deep, like when you go into your deepest part of sleep, and it's when you see, you know, pictures of people like doing sleep studies and like their eyes are closed and you can see like their eyes moving under their eyelids. That's when you're dreaming in REM sleep. But I don't know. People say that some dreams reveal like what your subconscious is really thinking and feeling. Some people think that dreams are premonitions of what's going to happen in the past.
We're actually going to get into what dreams are a little bit later in the show.
You know, and also, like, with this dream dictionary, what it does to analyze your dreams is it asks you to look for, like, specific symbols. So, you know, say you have a dream of you and your friend fishing in a boat in the middle of a lake. So you'd probably look up lake, boat, fishing, stuff like that. But I don't know. You know more about dreams than I do.
I'm not like a self-claimed dream expert, but I have done lots and lots of research on this. And I actually, I don't know if you've heard this thing called lucid dreaming.
It sounds familiar, but elaborate on it.
Lucid dreaming is basically, well, we're going to get to this a little bit later. It's actually one of the subjects I wanted to touch on a little bit later in the show. But lucid dreaming is basically, you know, you're dreaming and you can take control.
Oh, that's right. You told me
that. Of your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And they are really cool. We're going to discuss actually some methods that you too can dream lucidly. I guess you would say lucidly. Whatever. We're going to start talking like Bush. But anyway, yeah. And we want you guys, your listeners out there on the KU airwaves, to give us a call at 585-3449 with your dreams. That's 801-585-3449. You can also send us a fast flash on MySpace, myspace.com/thatsmystewboy. That's all one word, that's my stewboy.
That's STU, not STEW.
Yeah, that's my stewboy at MySpace. And we'll read those on air. You can also send us your dreams on MySpace, too, and we'll gladly read those over the air. I don't know what's wrong with these headphones today. They're just not working very good. Are yours fine volume-wise? Or?
Yes, mine are fine.
All right. But anyway, I want you to ask me these dreams, since I am this dream expert, as you so said.
Okay.
I want you to ask me these first questions here on the piece of paper, and I'll try to answer them as best as I can. Yeah. So go ahead and answer. Ask me those questions, and we'll get some music playing while we're doing this.
Okay. So, have we answered any of these yet?
No, we haven't, actually.
Okay. First question, what are dreams?
Well, the simplest terms, dreams is like a conglomeration of all your daily thoughts and everything. Your subconscious takes in so much during the day. You know, you takes in your thoughts, your sights, your sounds, your smells. It's everything that your subconscious, which is a part of your brain, you know, takes in during the day. And it's all a conglomeration of that. Sometimes dreams are events in the past. Can you hear fine?
It's really loud.
Sorry.
That's a little better. Thank you.
No problem. But don't interrupt me. I'm going to haunt you for that. But anyway, like I was saying, it's just dreams are just mostly just a conglomeration of all that you are thinking and smelling and touching and seeing and the five senses. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, there's five senses.
Yeah, there's five.
Because I remember the sixth sense. I was thinking of that movie just then, but yeah, the sixth sense is a different thing. That's for ghosts.
Yeah.
Detecting ghosts. And that was a terrible movie, by the way. But anyway, yeah, that's what dreams are. It's just a conglomeration of everything in your subconscious. You know, your memories, your thoughts, your smells, your touches, your things that you've touched. Some people have really, really vivid dreams. Some people don't have vivid dreams. Some people claim they don't even dream at all. Everybody dreams. Trust me. Dreaming is a natural part of being human being, and I'm not even sure other species other than mammals dream, but mammals do dream, like cats and dogs do dream. It's
that's why their feet twitch.
Yeah, that's why their feet twitch
when they're sleeping.
But anyway, that's what a dream is.
Okay, and everybody dreams. That's the next question. Can dreams really mean something?
Yes, in the dreams, I guess I was being a little bit vague in that question. Can dreams really mean something? Yes. And no. I mean, some people see them as prophetic, you know, like predicting the future, and some unfortunately have come true. Like I'm sure there has been a lot of dreams about 9/11 prior to that event, you know, and prior to major events happening. It's just weird the way the brain works. Dreams, you know, generally they don't mean anything. They're just, like I said, a conglomeration of all your subconscious ideas and all that kind of stuff coming through. So, you know, but tonight we're going to be interpreting dreams. So I guess we're looking for a meaning.
That's true. That's
so
a good
there
point.
You go.
Okay. What are some of the most common things people dream about, and what do they mean?
Oh, in order to do that, I got to get this one link open. Dream Dictionary.
Oh, I see. You don't want to use mine.
No. No, I do. We'll use your book. We'll use your book later. Oh, that doesn't work. Oh, I know what it is. Dreammoods.com, not Dream Dictionary. But anyway, yeah, we'll use your book later for the interpretations.
Okay, that works for me.
Dream Bank. Okay, common dreams. Most people, you know, one of the most common things that people dream about is other people.
True.
And you know, their relatives, people they know, people they've never even met before. I've had dreams where I've never even met these people, you know.
You know what? I've had dreams like that too, where, you know, somebody else is in your dream, but you can't really see their face.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a sense like you know them.
Yeah.
It's weird. Those dreams kind of give me the creeps, but in a good way. I don't know. I guess that's kind of an oxymoron. I guess you can't really get the creeps in a good way, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to mention, too, that you can email us during the show as well on yahoo.com, marsam233, that's marsam233@yahoo.com. Trying to find Yahoo Messenger. Somebody deleted that on this computer. No, there it is. I was like, Jesus, people, leave these computers alone. That's one of the things that's one of my pet peeves, just breaking subject here, that I don't like is when people mess with computers when they're not supposed to, you know, do stuff with computers that they don't know what they're doing and all that kind of stuff.
And that's why my computer is password protected.
I should start doing that with mine, although I'd protect it for myself. Okay, anyway, the most common dreams that... And there's many more than this. This is just a few of them. The most common dreams that people seem to have are ones of being naked.
I've never had that kind of dream.
You've never had a dream of you've been naked, like walking around public and everything and not really caring about it?
Uh-uh.
That's one of the most common dreams ever.
Rapid eye movement, that's what it's called.
Yeah, REM is rapid eye movement. I knew that.
No, I've never had a dream where I've been walking around comfortably naked, no. Can't say that.
But anyway, the interpretation of being naked, and look it up and see how comparative it is to my definition. But becoming mortified at the realization that you're walking around naked in public is often a reflection on your vulnerability or shamefulness. You may be hiding something and are afraid that others can nevertheless see right through you. You know, metaphorically, it says clothes are a form of concealment.
That's true. Okay. The Dream Dictionary defines being naked as to dream that you are naked foretells scandal and unwise engagements.
Oh, no.
To see others naked foretells that you will be tempted by designing persons to leave the path of duty. Sickness will be no small factor against your success. To dream that you suddenly discover your nudity and are trying to conceal it denotes that you have sought illicit pleasure contrary to your noblest instincts and are desirous of abandoning those desires.
And I don't know. I don't know if anybody else has this same feeling, but every time I've had these dreams. It's okay to admit it, that you've had dreams where you've been naked, and because everybody does, you will sooner or later.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
You know, and I'm sure you have. You probably just don't remember it.
That's probably true too.
But I always notice that people don't even notice that I'm naked. I'm
in
walking
your dream?
Around and I'm paralyzed. I'm you know, like I'm naked, you know, kind of thing in my dreams. But nobody seems to notice. In the people in my dream, that I call them dream characters. They don't know. They don't seem to notice. So It's really weird.
If only real life was like that.
Yeah. But anyway, another one of the most common... Oh, we have a really bad echo. That's your microphone that's causing that.
It's because you have it turned up really loud.
Well, it's because we can barely hear you.
I'll sit closer then. Is that better?
No. You got to talk louder. Sorry. What?
Nothing.
You mad at me now?
No, I'm not mad at you.
Gosh. Well, anyway, dreams of being chased.
Now, that's probably more common than being naked, is being chased. I've had thousands of dreams where I've been
lot of dreams of being chased. In fact, I had one last night.
Really? What were you being chased by?
My cousin. I'm not going to name which one, but it was a very strange dream. It was really weird.
And before we can give you the definition of being chased in a dream, we want to remind you that during any time during this part of the show, you can call in at 801-585-3449 and give us your dreams, and we'll try to interpret them as fast as possible. You might have two sides of it, too, because I have a dream dictionary, and Kia has a dream dictionary in her hand. So.
Yeah, there's not a definition for chase or being chased in here, unfortunately, but I'm sure we could find one.
According to this, it says, chase dreams often stem from feelings of anxiety in waking life.
Go figure.
So, yeah, if you're very stressed out or have anxiety or somebody's mad at you or something, you're going to have dreams that they're chasing after you. And they're often pretty scary, I must admit. I've had actually funny dreams where I've been scared. And that, we'll come to that later when I'm talking about my lucid dreams. I forgot my dream journal today, which was really bad, but I remember most of my dreams. So.
Well, that's good.
I remember most of my lucid dreams, which is really good. And we'll get to that later as well, like I said. But anyway, it also means your way of coping with feelings, being chased.
Oh, we have a caller. Which button is it again?
It's the phone one.
This one?
Yes.
I can read, I promise.
Thank you for calling KU.
Hello?
Yes, hi. How are you doing, caller?
Oh, I'm doing fine.
Where are you calling from?
Somewhere in Wyoming.
Somewhere in Wyoming, all right.
Yeah, okay.
Do you have a dream for us today?
I have a dream. I've had a repetitive dream.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And those are actually pretty common, too.
Yeah.
Could you tell us the details about this dream, and we'll try to interpret them?
I had repetitive dreams that I keep swallowing things.
Swallowing?
Yeah, swallowing.
Huh.
And they're important things, too. They're like money.
Ooh.
That's very interesting.
Swallowing money. That's actually very telling, I guess you could say.
Rolled up dollar bills going down my throat.
Okay.
And or pills, but knowing this is my last pill.
Okay, my interpretation of this, and you're going to get two tonight since Kia's got the other side. My interpretation says, to dream that you will swallow something indicates that you're holding back your feelings or words, and you may be unable to express your anger.
Wow, that's pretty profound.
To see a swallow,
That's what mine says.
To see a swallow?
It's referring to a swallow as in the bird.
So I guess you're going to have to take my word for it.
Well, that sounds pretty reasonable, actually.
And look up money really quick.
Okay,
we'll look up money for you.
All right, thank you.
That sounds like a bad dream to me if you're swallowing money.
And last night I had a dream that I was swallowing my car keys.
Oh, geez.
And, of course, they would not fit down my throat anyway, but...
All right, let's see. Oh, here we go. To dream that you swallow money portends that you are likely to become mercenary.
Okay. A mercenary?
Is that what it says? That's what it says.
To dream that you swallow money portends that you're likely to be... Oh, that is weird.
Well, I appreciate the explanation. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
And it's a very interesting show. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Wow, swallowing money. I have never had dreams where I've swallowed anything except for I take that back. I've had a nightmare where I was swallowing something. I can't remember what it was that I was swallowing, but it was a nightmare.
Huh. You need a dream catcher. I'm telling you, they work.
I always wanted one of those. I never have gotten one of those, a dream catcher. That might work for me. Ooh. That's a lady calling from somewhere in Wyoming, my home state of Wyoming. I wonder if it was my town. I don't know.
Oh, we have another caller.
And we always like callers. Thank you for calling KUTE.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I just heard you guys mention dream catchers, and I've heard about these before, but I'm not exactly clear on, like, the idea behind them, so I was wondering if you could explain that.
Okay. This is how a dream catcher works. I'm sure all of you know what they look like. It's kind of, they're in a circular pattern, and they usually, you know, most of them use either twine or leather to, they're really intricately made. Mm-hmm. They have feathers of birds on them and beads, and they usually, you know, some of the bigger ones have even animal skins in the middle of them.
Right.
What they do is they come from, you know, Native American origins, obviously, and you're supposed to place them on the wall above where you sleep. And the notion is that if you have a nightmare, they kind of portray dreams as being spirit-like. So if you have a nightmare, what the dream catcher does is it actually catches the bad dream.
Okay.
And so it prevents you from having nightmares. And personally, I've slept with a dream catcher since I was little, and I've only had maybe a few nightmares in my life that I can remember.
There like any theory as to what happens to the dream? Does it just stay there forever, or what?
Yeah, actually, and they actually say that dream catchers can get full.
Okay.
And so they say if you start having bad dreams, then you need to either take your dream catcher to like a practicing Native American so that he can release the dreams, or get a new one. And usually they have either a bead or like a pendant in the very middle of the dream catcher, and that's usually said to be where the dreams are kept.
Okay.
So, but I found that they work. I mean, maybe it's all subconscious thinking, but, you know, they're really pretty looking, too.
I know nothing about them, so thank you.
Okay, all right, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too.
Oh, wow. Dream catchers. See, I know nothing about that, so I'm glad I have you along to explain that.
I have three in my room.
I know, they're really nice looking too. Mm-hmm. I wish I had one.
I have, well,
birthday present. Christmas present. I don't know if they really work or not, but
I think they do.
Anyway, we got a fast flash that says, any study on twins having the same dream?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I've never really heard of any studies having the same dream, but I know that twins can be connected in a lot of ways. My mom actually is a twin.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
I think you told me that.
Yeah, my mom is a twin, so when when her sister was giving birth to one of her kids, my mom could actually feel pain in her stomach.
Oh, that's
and
weird.
And they're separated by, like, my aunt is in Wisconsin, and my mom was in Wyoming, of course, or was in Oklahoma City at the time.
Oh, wow.
So that is really strange.
You know what? I bet if, excuse me, I bet if twins could physically feel each other's pain, you know, there's probably a good chance that they share dreams as well.
Yeah. I just got another fast flash that says that's likely that they do.
Well, if there are any twins that are listening to this program, if you guys ever have the same dream, call us and let us know, because that's really interesting.
Or send us a fast flash on MySpace.
That
MySpace.com/thatsmystewboy. So, yeah, and you were still asking me questions about dreams, weren't you? I found out what money means to this thing. It's to see or win money in your dream symbolizes that success and prosperity is within your reach.
Hmm.
And that's just the basic of that. There's a whole large definition on the website that I don't want to have to spend time to read, because I'm not that good of a reader like Bush. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's the governor of California again.
That's okay, though.
And I got another fast flash that says twins likely have the same sense, you know, of being, so they feel the same exact thing. We got another caller.
Thank you for calling, Kate. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good.
I had a dream I'd like to talk about with you. This dream I had a long time ago.
Yeah?
And it was when I was younger,
okay,
probably in my teens. And what had happened was I was at the ski resort, and we were going up on this ski hill.
Uh-huh.
And so I got up on the top of the ski hill, and I went down, and I skied it all, and I was skiing pretty good. And in real life, I'm not a real good skier.
Yeah.
And I fall all the time, especially when I go over jumps.
You're like me then.
Yeah. But anyway, what happened was, in my dream, I got back on the ski lift, and I started hearing this music from somewhere, and I was like, what is that music? And then so I looked up on the ski lift, and there was a couple of chairs in front of me. There was a guy with a drum set sitting on the ski lift. I'm not kidding, it was weird.
That's hilarious.
But then I started hearing this music, and it was like, and it was really weird. And I was like, what is this music going on? And so we were going up the ski lift, and I kept on seeing more people sitting on the ski lift, and one of the persons I was Daryl Hall.
Really?
And then yeah, from Hall of Notes.
Yeah, really, I know that guy.
Yeah, but it was, and then like there was another like I looked around and like behind me on the chair behind me there was John Oates. So it was weird. It was like Hall of Notes, and then they started singing. I'm not sure if you know that song, but it goes, "I can't go for that." You know,
I know that song. That's a very good song.
Yeah, it was just really weird. It was like random, out of nowhere, and I personally didn't listen to Hall of Notes that much. I think I did hear that song on the radio that day.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, I was awake before, but it was really weird, and I was thinking, wondering if you could interpret it for me.
Okay, we'll look up, we'll try to, our best to do that.
Okay, well, I looked up skiing in my book, and there is not anything for skiing, but okay. I think you found something.
Yeah, I did, actually. Skiing says, to dream that you are skiing, wait a minute, I just lost it, I had it. Okay, skiing suggests that you are pushing yourself and your... And you're putting your mental and physical ability to the test. Gosh,
That's interesting.
So basically, you're putting yourself to the test mentally and physically, and you are your own fiercest competitor. Now, There is no definition, of course, for Hall and Oates. But
I would expect that you would find one.
No, I'm looking up music actually right now because.
Let's see if there's anything. There's a chair. Well, there's no chairlift. Okay, my book's useless for this dream, unfortunately.
To hear harmonious and soothing music in your dream is a good omen of prosperity. Music.
Well, that was kind of weird because the next day I got a job at Hometown Cafe. Maybe that was weird.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go. It's good luck. So
I don't work at Hometown Cafe anymore, but that was when I was a teenager.
Yeah, that's cool. Hall and Oates on a ski lift. I'll have to remember that one. We'll have to actually write these down. As we get them, so we can like reiterate what people were dreaming about. Because I'm very curious as to what people are dreaming about. Do you have a pen?
I have a highlighter.
A highlighter will work, but Hall & Oates on a ski lift. So thank you for calling very much.
All right, thank you.
And have a good night.
Hall & Oates on a ski lift. That's got to be. I wish I would have that dream because that'd be hilarious. I'd like ski down or knock Hall & Oates off the ski lift because they're not that good of a band, actually.
I don't even know who they are.
They sing that Kiss Is On My List song. Because your kiss is on my list.
Oh, okay. See, I'm telling you, I know these songs because I used to work at
Hall & Oates.
I used to work at Shopko, and they used to play those songs on a loop repeatedly over and over and over again. So I know the songs, but I have no idea who sings them.
It sounds like 40-year-old Virgin where they were playing nothing but Michael McDonald on the TV. You don't have to worry because I'm your brother. My cat actually loves Michael McDonald.
Oh, that's right.
His name is Milo. Milo Pippi. Anyway, yeah, we got to get on with the dreams We have a fast flash that says, I'm not LDS, but I have many friends that are missionaries, including my very best friend. I had a dream a few weeks ago when I was riding in a car with him and my girlfriend. Look at the car. And he had just gotten back from his mission after like 3 months because he did such a good job. Then my girlfriend left and I asked him what was really going on because I knew he was lying and he told me he came back because he missed me so much. Then he held my hand rather intimately and I started smiling and we drove away.
Wow.
Really, that's an interesting dream. Okay, we'll look up, you look up car. Is it in there?
Let's see.
It ought to be, like automobile.
Oh, here we go. It says to ride on a car. I guess that could.
In a car, yeah.
In a car. Foretells that rivalry and jealousy will enthrall your happiness.
Ooh, that's not a good one.
Hmm.
I'll look up hands for you really quick.
But it also says to dream of seeing cars denotes journeying and changing in quick succession. To get on one shows that travel which you held in contemplation will be made under different auspices than had been calculated upon.
Okay, so I found one that says to dream that you're holding hands with someone represents your connection with that that person. Your dream may also reflect anxieties about losing touch with him or her, or that you are drifting apart. So there you go. I guess that's your full interpretation. That you're driving a car and it's your fear of anxiety of giving this person up or something. So that's my interpretation, but I'll write that down. Hands and car. And we welcome any interpretation or any dream tonight and be as detailed as possible because the more details, the better.
That's true.
The more we can look up and the more we can interpret it for you. But anyway, we were talking I don't know what happened to my page. I had a whole page up here.
Are you having issues with the computer over there?
It's having issues with me, actually. I don't have issues with computers. Computers have issues with me.
I see.
Okay, there we go. Now I got my links back. But you were asking me a question about dreams really mean something. Well, there you go. There's your interpretation. That dream must have meant something about it, this person's anxiety for this other person.
Apparently.
So we were talking about the most common dreams.
That's right. Did we read all of them?
We didn't actually do that. Well, there's more than that. There's dreams. We're not going to read the whole definitions of these. We're just going to be very brief so we can get to the more people's dreams. But the most common dreams, hold on. I lost this page, I swear. Something's
wrong.
There you go. Teeth. Have you ever had dreams about teeth?
Definitely not.
I can't say I have either, that I remember anyway. And I'm pretty sure I have, but I can't remember.
Dreams about teeth. Well, that seems like an interesting... My teeth are falling.
I know my mom has dreams about teeth a lot.
Really? Did she ever want to be a dentist in any time of her life?
I don't think so. But anyway, it says dreams that your teeth are falling out are the most common dreams we have.
Huh.
And apparently, according to this website, it's the most common they receive. These people actually take people's dreams and interpret them for you.
Okay.
So they dreams about teeth falling out.
That would be a really interesting dream to have.
Okay, one theory is that your dreams about teeth may reflect your anxiety or about your appearance and how you how others perceive you.
I've had dreams like that. I've had lots of dreams like that.
But not with dreams?
Huh?
But not with teeth? Bleh.
No.
Not with dreams? Dreams no. And not with dreams?
Not with teeth, though. I've never had a dream where my teeth have been falling out.
Really?
But I definitely have a lot of dreams where I'm concerned with how people perceive me. Or at least my physical appearance.
Okay, we have another caller.
Thank you for calling, Kate. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
So what's up today, tonight, sir?
I was wondering if you could... I have a boy that goes to college.
Yeah?
And he's about 23 years old.
23?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes to college. And... he has this recurring dream, and we've kind of made fun of it at home, but at the same token, he still has this recurring dream, right?
Okay.
But, you were talking a little bit ago about being naked and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But he has this dream that he's kind of like a superhero.
Really? Superhero?
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is he's a superhero that's totally naked, right? But he only wears one piece of clothing.
Really?
Yeah, and it's kind of hard to say because I know it's a radio station, but he only has this one piece of clothing that he wears. And if you've ever kind of seen, like, on Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know?
Oh, yeah?
You know how those guys kind of, when they sing up on the stage and stuff, and they're wearing socks?
Oh. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, he has this constant reoccurring dream, so, you know, we make fun of him.
That's a little embarrassing, I must say.
Well, yeah, I know it is, but, you know, we just can't get over and understand what his dream is.
Okay.
And so he's wearing the sock, and he's a superhero, and he's taking off in the air.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he's flying and stuff, and he's saving people left and right. But, you know, like I say, it's become to the point where it's obsessive to him. And, you know...
Have you actually bought him a dream dictionary?
I'm sure no, we haven't. No.
Okay. That would be actually a good purchase so he could look it up himself.
I was hoping that you could help.
Oh, we will. Yeah.
Because, like I say, he just has this dream that he's a superhero. He's saving people. He's flying up in the air. But he wears only the sock, just like in the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And, you know, we call him, I can't.
Don't say it on the air.
Yeah. But it's something in the sock boy.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna have Kia look up the hard part, and I'll look up the easy part.
Yeah, I mean, but this is reoccurring, and I just don't want him to, you know, even though he's 23 years old, I just don't want him, you know, to have any more problems in his life, you know, because he just thinks he's a superhero. With
so I'd say your son needs counseling.
Yeah, I don't know if that's gonna help, but, you know. We tried to talk to him.
Well, I think my dream dictionary is coming up short again for this.
On that one?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Or you just don't want to say it?
No, I'm positive. It's not in there.
Okay, well, I know it's in this one.
But look for sock, maybe.
Yeah, I'll look up sock.
I did look up sock. It's not in there.
No.
I did. It's not in there.
So it must be connected with that naked kind of thing that you're talking about.
We'll look up naked again. We'll interpret that since we already did. But we're
no nothing about superhero. And
oh, I found out. I found superhero on this one.
With a sock?
It doesn't say with a sock.
Okay. Well, I hope you find some because I'm listening.
All right. We'll take your answer off air then. All right. Have a good night.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. So superhero. That's a really interesting dream. I'm gonna have to write that down. Do you have your pen?
Oh, I stole. Here's a pen right here.
Yeah, there's a good pen. That'll work.
There you go.
Okay, superhero.
Let's read what it says for naked again.
Sock.
I don't think that's a very common dream.
Yeah, superhero is definitely not a common dream. But superhero, sir, means to dream that your superhero represents your above average talents, ideas, and other hidden abilities that you may not realize you possess. So maybe your son has something that he doesn't know he possesses in himself. You know, he may have a superpower. I don't know.
Hmm.
So nothing about.
Oh, it just says that it just a scandal says is scandal is rise.
So maybe this superhero power that your son has is kind of scandalous. I don't want to crush anybody's beliefs here, but that's what the dream dictionary says. You don't have to take our word for it though.
I think a naked superhero wearing nothing but a sock is kind of scandalous.
That's definitely scandalous in itself. Yeah. I just got a text, Fast Flesh, that says he's a vulnerable superhero. That's right. That's very right. He's a vulnerable superhero. Thank you for that interpretation.
There you go. So, any of you else have dreams, call in.
585-3449.
We will try and interpret them the best that we can.
Good. But anyway, we were talking about common dreams, and we already discussed teeth dreams. It's another thing about anxiety. A lot of dreams are about anxiety, it seems like.
We were on...
Flying.
I've had flying dreams.
Flying dreams are fun. I love flying dreams.
You know what? I think I've actually had a lucid flying dream.
I'm sure you have. Do you remember much about it?
I think I was flying in the intent of, I knew where I was going, but... I don't remember it now, but I was purposely flying somewhere.
Yeah, lucidity means that you purposely know. Excuse me.
Oh my god.
You purposely know that you're dreaming. Sorry about that.
Thank you for calling KU.
Hi, I have a question for you.
Yes, go ahead.
Actually, a dream.
Okay, go ahead.
I had a dream just recently that I was carrying my grandmother like a backpack.
Ooh.
On my back, and she's been dead since 1970. I was extremely close to her and everything, but I'm wondering what the significance of that is. And she kind of smiled at me, but yet she was limp. I mean, she was dead. There was no doubt.
Oh, really?
And I was dancing with her. It was almost like I was carrying her like a backpack.
Huh.
What do you think of the significance of that?
It'd probably be under grandparents in yours.
Yeah.
I'm looking up.
Do you have that in your book?
Yeah. Grandparents says, well, it's only got a one and it's kind of broad. It says, to dream of meeting your grandparents and conversing with them, you'll meet with difficulties that will be hard to surmount, but by following good advice, you'll overcome many barriers.
Oh, wow.
Hmm.
That's interesting. What about the fact that she was dead?
I'm looking that up right now.
Are you looking up death?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Death in itself is a big topic for dreams. I let's see. I'm having trouble finding it, though.
Yeah, there's
reason.
Like... what?
Yeah, and I've had dreams
there
with my grandpa, too, where he's been gone for a long time, too.
Look up back. Yeah, we'll look up backpack. We'll look up backpack and we'll look up death.
Well,
might there actually be something for backpack?
There might be.
Okay, in my book it says, to dream of seeing any of your people dead warns you of coming disillusion or sorrow. Disappointments always follow dreams of this nature. But it also says dreams relating to death or dying, unless they are due to spiritual causes, are misleading and very confusing to the novice in dream lore when he attempts to interpret them.
Oh, wow. I can see why they'd be confused, because everybody has a different, you know, dream, you know, different death experience. And
That's true.
Or feelings about it, you know what I mean?
Well, and we're going to actually, that's one of the topics I wanted to talk about later in the show, probably the next hour, because we're approaching the next hour.
It's going by fast.
Yeah, to dream about a death of a loved one suggests that you were lacking a certain aspect of quality that the loved one embodies. So,
And she was extremely loving.
Yeah, so...
My grandma was to the nth degree, I mean...
What were you going to say?
My friend Steve-O just text messaged me, and he said, "Hey, you want to know something funny? I had a dream about you being on the radio. I called in, and you gave me advice on what medicine to use in order to fix my scooter."
What if that's serious?
That's Steve-O for you.
But anyway, so your dream of death and your grandma, it's just like you're probably searching for something that she embodies, you know, that like you were saying.
That is extremely interesting.
The really loving side of her, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Huh.
But did you?
Well, thank you. I'm sorry.
Did you find? I'm talking to Kia. Did you find backpack?
That's what I'm looking. There's backbite, backgammon.
What does back say?
It says to dream of seeing a nude back.
Oh.
To see a person turn and walk away from you. To dream
of
your own back. No.
And backpack's not in there.
That wouldn't work. Huh?
Nope. But thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.
Bye. Oops. Cut her off a little bit. Sorry about that. Steve-O, your friend.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's real or not. Ask him if it's real.
I'll say, are you serious?
Because you really are on the radio and you could give him medicine how to fix his bike.
Well, that would be kind of a strange dream.
Yeah.
Because you don't give medicine to a scooter to fix it.
You give gas to make it go, but I don't know. That or it gives you gas, I don't know. Anyway, more common dream themes before we get... We got to get actually going. What's enough of those common dreams? You can actually look those up on dreammoods.com. Dream Moods has a large selection of information about dreams. And that's where actually I am finding my dream interpretations. So the next question says, what are lucid dreams? That's a really good question.
We already went over lucid dreams, though, didn't we?
Not in detail.
Kind of.
Lucid.
Go ahead.
Okay. What were we going to say, though?
Well, just pretty much what you told me lucid dreams meant.
Well, lucid dreams basically are dreams where you actually know you're dreaming, where you're physically aware that you're dreaming, and you can actually take control of your dreams. I've had several lucid dreams, actually, within the past couple of years. I didn't really know before, like, a couple of years ago, what lucid dreams were. But I've had them before that. I've had them way back since I can remember. And I remember one in particular. I was flying on my back. I was actually running down a street in Casper, Wyoming, where I used to live. It was called Popular Street or something, or Broadway, or Beverly. Beverly, that's what it was. And there was the hospital's there on that street, I think it is. So I was running down that street. I was getting chased by some thugs or something. And all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, I'm dreaming. So I jumped up in the air, and I started flying and everything. I love flying in dreams. That's what I love doing, is the best thing to do in dreams is flying, especially lucid dreams, because you know you can go anywhere you want to in dreams. That's what lucid means. You know, you know you're dreaming, and you can take control of your dream. That's what a lucid dream basically is. But anyway, to continue with that story, I was floating on my back. I turned over on my back, and it was stars in the sky and stuff, so I started actually getting sucked up towards space. It was pretty scary. I remember going, you know, like kind of making that kind of noise, like whoa kind of thing, and that's actually written down in my dream journal as one of my favorite dreams, and that's happened like sometime in between 1994 and 98. So that's a lucid dream where you know you're dreaming,
you know, and you can dreaming. Control what happens.
And I'm actually going to tell you, y'all listeners, some little methods how you can have lucid dreams. There's several out there, and please experiment with these. If you want to have lucid dreams, these are not foolproof. Anyway, there's one called the mnemonic induction of lucid dreams, or in other words, MILD. So we'll call it MILD. Is a common technique where you basically with MILD is you lay down and you say to yourself, okay, I'm going to dream. I'm dreaming. I'm in a dream. I'm aware of my dream, and you keep repeating this until you fall asleep. And supposedly you should, you know, hopefully you should wake up in your dream and you just think, wait a minute. So that's mild. And you have a text message that you want
to
read.
No, my mom just tried to call me. I accidentally hit ignore. I'm sorry, Mom. I did not mean to ignore you. And you also asked me if Steve-O's dream was real. And he said, yes, it was. He said, it was for real. The weird thing is, I had the dream long before I even knew you were on the radio. So, that's very interesting. And he said in the dream that giving medicine to the scooter actually made sense.
Giving medicine to a scooter. I wonder if we should write that down.
That's interesting.
Medicine to a scooter. But anyway, there's a lot more techniques to induce lucid dreams. Mild is just one of them where you just repeat to yourself. Basically, it's just as simple as that. Repeat to yourself, okay, I'm dreaming. I'm in a dream. I'm aware of my dream. And there are all sorts of things all across the internet to help you. There's even a website called ldforall.org. Lucid Dreaming for All.
Oh.
And I'm actually a member of the forum there.
Well, there you go.
So, hey. But anyway, yeah, that's one of the methods, mild. And I found that mild is the easiest to do, and it's the most profitable as far as having lucid dreams.
Well, there you go. If you want to have a lucid dream where you can actually control what you're doing in your dream.
Have a mild.
There you go.
Have a mild.
Thank you for calling KU Student Radio.
Hey, how you doing? I'm listening to your show.
How's it going, sir?
Pretty good, pretty good.
You got a dream for us to interpret, or you got something to add for
us? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do.
Okay.
This is one I've had ever since I was a little kid. This is a sincere, no lie, no BS dream.
Okay. That's the one we like.
This is one that I've had probably since I was probably in high school. And what it is I can remember vividly. In like it's a period kind of a dream, and I'm wanting to say it's in the I'm in France.
Okay.
It's by the Bastille. You know, if you recall that revolution back then.
I don't. I'm not sure.
Did you take history in college?
Yeah, actually, I had a history early in college, but it was.
Oh, do you know what the Bastille is, man?
That sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar, but it sounds like you don't know.
I don't know exactly. Could you explain what it is?
Sounds like you're pretty stupid.
I wouldn't say that.
But anyways, it's a dream that I had. It's a revolution there where they overthrew the king, right? And this is an honest to God dream what I had. And I've even told my wife this and my kids and everything. This is a dream where there's a big crowd running down the street and I'm at a gate of a castle.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd grabs me. This is men, women, everybody. They grab me and they throw me up against the gate. This is no lie, and I can see it as I speak now. There's a man with a rifle and a long bayonet, and he runs it into my stomach. And every time he about hits my stomach, I wake up, and I've had this dream at least three or four times.
That is,
and it's recurring. It's basically the same dream. It's no lie.
And it's exactly the same things every single time?
Yes, it is. It sure is.
Okay, I'm looking up stabbing.
This is a bayonet right in the gut.
Okay, to dream that you have been stabbed signifies your struggle with power. You may be experiencing feelings of inadequacy or defensiveness.
I was experiencing gut pain.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's another thing. Sometimes in dreams you do feel pain. Is there anything on...
Rifle's not in
rifles.
There.
Rifles, okay.
I'll look. Maybe I'll look at pain.
Yeah, look
I'm
up pain.
I'm almost thinking it's like reincarnation.
That could be true, actually.
Because this is something I've had. I mean, you know how you have dreams and you forget them.
It's almost...
Things like that. But boy, this is that same thing. And where they're throwing me up against... And I can remember the uniform that one of the guys that was getting me was red, white, and blue stripes. And he was wearing that old-time 1600s hat. And he was coming right at me while they were holding me.
That's a cold. That's actually you're talking about like a past life?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm just wondering if I maybe had some gas while I was sleeping at night or something like that.
A lot of people do, actually.
Well, maybe, but this is the thing that gets me is this has probably been reoccurring.
Okay, look, read pain for him.
All right, looks like it says to dream that you are in pain will make sure of your own unhappiness. This dream foretells useless regrets, over some trivial transaction.
This wasn't dreaming about pain. This was about these guys coming at me.
I know, but you said you felt pain.
Oh, yeah.
But, okay. You said one of them had a...
I feel it like going in, and then all of a sudden I woke up.
You said you had one of them had a gun?
No, this was a gentleman with a bayonet, and he was running right through me.
Okay.
The crowd was holding, laughing, and screaming.
But earlier, though, you said one of them had a rifle?
Yeah, a rifle with a bayonet on.
Okay, but I'm looking up gun, and it says, to see a gun in your dream, anyway, symbolizes aggression, anger, and potential danger.
Hmm.
So, that is interesting, but I think I'm leaning more towards your side of that it is maybe a past life dream.
My mom says that nothing's coming through.
The thing that sticks in my head is Bastille.
Huh.
And if you ever see some of the old movies about it where they're, you know, like it's probably even a 1930s, 40s movie about the Bastille. That's kind of what it reminds me of. And like I say, I had this since I was probably in high school.
Interesting. That is really interesting.
Yep.
Well, I hope that...
I just wondered if you could figure it out.
Yep. And thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
All right.
I'm just hoping that someday science will catch up with us and, you know, there will be a device that we can hook to our brains that will record our dreams. That would be so cool.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I would like to record my dreams. I do record my dreams in a dream journal, which is something that I'm going to tell all of you that want to have lucid dreams that you should start doing now. Write down your dreams if you can remember them and date them and give them a title. You know, it's like writing a book. Give them a title, write down the date, and write down as many details of the dream as you can. And once you start remembering dreams more often, then you will notice yourself having more lucid dreams, which is really interesting. One of the other methods is called wake back to bed, or WBTB, as it's more commonly known on the Internet. The wake back to bed technique basically is what you do is you wake up like before you're supposed to get up during the normal morning hours. You wake up like an hour before your alarm is supposed to go off. You do certain things that could make you more lucid. You eat certain types of foods, and there's dozens of things you can do to become more lucid, you know.
Hmm.
Watch TV, read books on lucidity, visit the web and stuff like that. This one, and then go back to sleep and you'll have a lucid dream. But this one, actually, I have not had much success with. I've tried it before. It just doesn't work for me. And again, all these methods will work differently for different people, you know. One method's not going to work is not necessarily going to work for you. The last and most, one of the most common kinds of, it's the most complicated, too, types of methods of becoming lucid is actually called wild or wake-induced lucid dreaming. And this involves, you know, a sort of self-hypnosis kind of thing where you actually feel yourself going to sleep and you actually know that your body is going to sleep but your mind stays awake.
I think I've had that before.
And this is borderline out-of-body experience, actually.
Wow.
Which is another thing I'm going to talk about is out-of-body experiences. It's borderline on that since, you know, they're so close.
Huh.
But anyway, how to do it is you'll have most success in the morning, actually. After being awake for 15 minutes or so, waking from a dream, and I'm going to turn that off. It just
change your mind.
Yeah, because I've already played that song. I don't know why it's not listening to me. There we go. That'll work. Anyway, you have to do this after waking up from a dream. You say, okay, in the morning, like if you accidentally wake up before your alarm goes off, you can do this. You give yourself about 15 minutes or so, and it's really actually works better in the afternoon too if you're taking a nap. I should have done this afternoon when I took a nap. You often have to count like backwards, like 10, 9, 8, or you count steps as you're going up, like you're walking up an imaginary set of steps. Is it too loud?
No.
Okay. You walk up, like you count like you're walking up steps, like you say 1, 2, 3, and you count up until you fall asleep.
Okay.
But you actually notice certain things different from mild that will happen. You will notice that your body's falling asleep. It's called sleep paralysis. You won't be able to move.
Huh.
And you'll notice that you'll hear sounds, and you cannot control these things. But once you get past all that, and your mind is still awake, but your body's asleep.
That's what's the key about Wild, is your mind is still awake, but your body's asleep.
And this is for the wake initiated lucid dreams? Okay.
Yeah. It's more commonly known as Wild, but you can call it whatever you want. Lucid. I prefer Mild. And we have a phone call.
Steve-O said that the music that we're playing sounds like 50s porn music.
Oh, really? Because it's movie soundtracks.
Thank you for calling KU. How are you doing?
Yeah, I've been listening to your show for a while, and it's interesting you brought lucid dreams, because I had this one dream that I've always remembered, and it was when I was growing up. It was probably when I was in the early 20s or late teens, and it was really kind of a long dream. I don't know if you want me to explain all of it.
Just like the details.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Just the details.
Well, yeah, that's pretty detailed, all of it.
Well, no. Just tell me, like, the bare minimum, so we can get other callers in as well, if they want to come.
Okay, well, anyway, the basis of my dream was I was supposed to rescue this girl in this prison. And it was up on this hill, and, you know, there's these people and there's guards all around this prison. And to get in there, I had to figure out a clever way to get in there. Uh-huh. So I disguised myself as a seal.
Oh.
You know, like one of those marine mammals, a seal.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just put myself in a seal costume, and they picked me up like, hey, you should be out here, and then they put me in the jail. So, like, I got into jail that way. And so, anyway, in my dream, I, like, went and I rescued the girl. I grabbed the keys, and I got her out of the jail. And somehow, it was extremely easy for some reason, but we, like, just kind of walked out of the jail, and we got out of there.
Hmm.
And, like, it was a really cool feeling. It was, like, it felt like it was real, and it was, like, an adventure. And so I remember I was walking along the side of this building, and I don't know what happened to the girl. I think she, like, I don't know what happened to her, but I was walking along the side of this building, and I said to myself, I suddenly became aware of my dream that I was dreaming, and I said to myself, hey, this is just a dream.
Yeah.
So if this is just a dream, I could do anything. And so I said, well, I'm going to jump up in the air and start flying. And sure enough, I, like, jumped up in the air, and I started flying. You know, and I was doing all these, like, Peter Pan maneuvers and all those kind of things, but... But I just remember, like, having, like, it didn't last that long after I realized it was a dream, and that's how usually my lucid dreams work.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't last that long afterwards, but...
Well, there's actually techniques where you can actually extend your lucid dreams.
How's that?
Well, next time you're lucid, try this. Put your hands together in your dream and rub them and actually physically say, more lucidity, and keep repeating that. And then then close your eyes and spin around, and you will wake up, and it will be longer. It will last longer.
Have you tried that?
It's actually worked for me.
Huh.
Cool.
I'm going to have to try that next time I have a lucid dream.
Yeah, I will too.
That's pretty cool.
But have you actually, do you write down your dreams in a dream journal?
I've been thinking about doing that for a while, but I never got around to it. I'm not a morning person, so when I wake up, and I have a dream, I feel like going back to sleep. I don't feel like writing.
Uh-huh.
I'm the same way.
Yeah, it's kind of tough to get up in the morning, even on when I don't have lucid dreams, or dreams I remember.
Huh.
But,
well,
but I do notice that when I, like, tell someone about my dreams, then I remember more. You know, like, I think that's, I've heard somewhere, like, if you, like, tell people about your dreams, or, like, if you do, like, just like if you write them down, you do remember them more often.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So.
Huh. Well, we did look up prison and seal, and to decipher your dream. And prison, it says, to dream of a prison is the forerunner of misfortune in every instance if it encircles your friends or yourself. But it says, to see anyone dismissed from prison denotes that you will finally overcome misfortune.
Huh. Well, I kind of, like, was a liberator. I wasn't really, I mean, I intentionally put myself in there to get this girl out.
Huh. And to see a seal in your dream indicates your playfulness and ability to use and incorporate differing ideas and thoughts in the situation. It's a sign of good luck.
That's interesting.
So seals are a sign of good luck. That's really cool.
Cool. Well, I just thought, I listen to your show every week, and I'd have to say I like it. So,
well, that's
keep
good to hear.
Work.
All right.
All right. All right.
Bye.
Seal and prison. I'll write that down. Again, if any of you listeners out there, and we want to know actually where you're calling from too. I want to start doing that. So
yeah, to show ASUU how many listeners we have and where they're coming from.
Yeah.
where are you calling from? Tell us. You don't have to tell us any detail. Like, I'm at this address in the avenues or whatnot, but just tell us
the city and state.
The city and state. That works. Or if you're on the campus.
That works too. I have another message sent. My phone's having issues tonight.
Your phone always has issues.
I know.
Of course, so does mine. That's what you get with Verizon. But yeah, seal is a sign of good luck there, sir. So I hope you do have good luck in your future endeavors. But we were talking about lucid dreams and everything.
That's right.
I think I pretty much explained how you become lucid.
Pretty much.
You can do a search online on Google right now for all of you that are listening online. Do a search for lucid dreams. Chances are you'll come up with luciddreamforall.com or ldforall.org, I think it is. And they have a forum there that you can register on and post your dreams and post your problems and successes and all that kind of stuff. And I'm a member, so yay. Not only am I the founder, I'm the member.
Well, there you go.
And one of my questions was, can anybody have a lucid dream? Yes, of course. Anybody that can dream can have a lucid dream. All it takes is just a little work. You have to train your mind to get used to it. You have to train your mind. I actually have been pretty lackluster in doing this in my case. I haven't had a lucid dream in about a month.
I wonder if, say you're having a nightmare, if you could switch it around to become a lucid dream and control it. See, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and several of the members on that site that I just mentioned also have talked about that, where you can take control of your nightmare and turn it around, like, and make your monster or whoever's chasing after you, you know, into something insignificant, and then a dream becomes cool. Like, you can tell you can play catch with the monster that's chasing after you or something.
Dude, that would be good to teach to kids, you know,
because
kids
would
have
be.
Nightmares all the time, and, you know, they wake up crying.
And you know, another one of my questions that I want to talk about right now, actually, because I just got a good idea, is what are some of the things, is there lucid dreams in pop culture? Like references to lucid dreams in pop culture, and they're all over the place, actually, more than you would actually think. There's actually a Simpsons episode. I don't know if you've seen this one, the Treehouse of Horror six, the sixth one, where Groundskeeper Willie turned into he was playing actually Freddy Krueger like character, and he was chasing after Bart.
That's, I don't think I saw that one.
Yeah. So the Simpsons actually picked up on lucid dreams, you know, and Bart and Lisa have to go in and fight Groundskeeper Willie. I actually remember that episode. That's one of the best episodes of the Simpsons ever.
I'll have to download it.
I think, you and your downloading. I have to say that the Treehouse of Horror episodes are the best Simpsons episodes.
I have to agree. I've seen a few of them. They're pretty good.
And there's been lots of movies. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is actually based on lucidity, too.
I didn't know that. I don't think I've ever seen that movie, though.
It's a good movie. I have it. It's got, what is it? Jim Carrey and Kirsten Dunst. But, yeah, there's been lots of books written about it. There's been actually been movies made. One of the best movies that deals with dreams, actually, is the Freddy Krueger series. I don't know if you've ever seen the original Friday the 13th. Night on Nightmare on Elm Street?
I think I've seen the first one, and I watched half of it, and I was too scared, so I stopped. But I got the idea. Yeah, I don't like horror movies. I really don't. But I got the idea of what it was about.
The Nightmare on Elm Street is like one of the dorkiest 80s movies ever.
No, isn't
it? It's not
it?
Scary.
Well, I think I saw it when I was little, I was scared. But
it came out in like 80-something, 81, the first one. And there's like seven of them. I'm actually watching.
Well, see, there you go. I was born in 86, so I was a kid when I saw the first one.
Well, I was born in 84, so there.
Hooray for you. But I got the idea. Like, wasn't it, he could only hurt you if you were sleeping, right?
Yeah, he could hurt you while you were sleeping. That's right. Gosh, I don't know what I was trying to say.
Oh, we have a caller.
Good evening. Thank you for calling Kate. How are you doing?
I have a question.
Okay.
My fiance tends to scream a lot while she's sleeping.
Oh,
but she doesn't realize it a lot of the time. What do you have to say about that?
She might be having a night terror. Does she toss and turn and a lot when she screams?
Sometimes she talks as well. But normally she just screams, and then sometimes it'll wake her up, and it usually wakes me up. But
what kind of scream is it? Is it a frightened scream, or?
Yes, it's like a loud shrill. It's like,
huh.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. Well,
yeah,
let's see if there's anything for screaming in my dream dictionary.
I don't think it has to be a nightmare. I think it just happens.
It's kind of like, actually, my mom has the same kind of symptoms. Maybe it runs in the family. I don't know.
Maybe.
But,
I don't think we're related, though.
I don't know. I don't think so either. But anyway, my mom actually has what seems like bad dreams every night, and she has dreams like of stuff falling on her, like walls and all sorts of stuff. And my room actually is right next to my mom's at my house at home, and I can hear my mom through the wall going whoa, whoa, you know, like and stuff like that. So I don't know.
Okay, well there's.
So she's a wall lady.
Aren't all moms?
Let's see. Well, there's nothing for screaming in my book, but Justin's going to look up on his page and see if there's anything for screaming on there.
Yeah, because I see right now that there's actually something. But that's really interesting. I'm thinking it's not necessarily. It doesn't have to necessarily be a night terror. It just might be.
No, it doesn't have to be a nightmare. It's just like.
It just might. She might be just more susceptible to having. You know.
There we go.
Oh, she's telling me it usually is a nightmare.
Okay. To dream that you are screaming symbolizes anger and fear. It's an expression of your powerful emotions, which you have kept pent up inside. So there's your explanation.
But does it say how you can cross over from like being in a dream to actually screaming for real?
Well, there are actually certain levels of sleep. There's like REM sleep, which is the deepest, of course. And then there's like there's four stages, I believe, if I remember correctly from psychology. But, she might just be in between one of those stages, and dreams have a tendency to start like in the third stage. So she might just be seeing like simple shapes and objects, but that might be causing her to scream, and her body isn't fully, you know, into dream mode yet.
It might also be the same concept as kind of like when you have a falling dream, and when you realize in your dream that you're falling, like your body actually jumps. Or twitches. I don't know if that's happened to you, Justin, but...
No, actually it does.
Every time
I... actually had those dreams before, too, where I'm falling, but I'll always wake up before I hit the ground.
Yeah, but you sometimes don't you feel like your body twitch or jump?
I don't think my body twitches or jump, or maybe it's just like waking up, you kind of like sit up just a little bit, but other than that, I don't know if I've really moved too much, but I... But you always wake up before you hit the ground. What
yeah.
would happen if you actually hit the ground?
That's a good question.
It probably wouldn't feel very good. I actually had sleptwalked a couple nights ago.
Are you sure, or was that your ghost?
I don't know what it, but sleepwalking is very common. You know, it's a common state of sleep, I guess. A lot of people do it, and I don't know how to explain that.
You know, I think I sleepwalk and turn things off in my room because last night, I swear to God, I have like one of those light ropes.
Mm-hmm.
And I have it around one of my bookshelves, and I fell asleep with it on.
So
and I do not remember.
Turning it
I
off.
Do not remember turning it off. But when I woke up, it was off.
See, that's kind of like that's kind of goes along with your screaming, your girlfriend screaming. So
yeah, I have another question too. Like
okay.
Sometimes like I'll be being chased in a dream.
Uh huh.
Sometimes I'll actually like fight back, and I'll be just like kicking everybody's butt. Do you ever have dreams like that, or do you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's it's not actually.
What does it mean when you're actually like fighting back? I know what you. I was listening before, and you said what it meant when you're.
You might actually be lucid. I'm not. It's like some level of lucidity there that where you actually realize, wait a minute, I can defeat this.
Hmm.
But look up fighting really quick. We might be able to.
Could it be related to playing too many shoot 'em up video games?
Yeah, it could be too, because I've had lots of dreams where I'm playing Call of Duty, and that's one of my favorite games.
Let's see. It says to dream that you engage in a fight denotes that you will have unpleasant encounters with your business opponents and lawsuits threaten you.
Oh no.
That's interesting.
But there you go. That's my best. That's our best explanation for that.
All right. That's all the questions.
Okay.
I have.
Thank you for calling.
Yep, bye.
Have a good night.
So, there you go. But I was like I was saying, I swear, it's there's two explanations for my sleepwalking. One, I didn't sleepwalk and my ghost moved it. Two, I sleptwalked and I moved it. I'm leaning closer to two.
Why would you move your phone, though?
Beats me. It would require a lot of work, too, because I'd have to get down off of my top bunk.
Yeah, well, and you hit it. It looked like your phone was hidden.
Yeah.
Because it took you for a long time to find it.
Yeah, my phone was very well hidden. I mean, I wouldn't even drop it there, no matter what.
So why would you hide your phone from yourself?
Maybe because I use it too much. To talk to you. No.
I see how it is.
Yeah, hey. I'm not the one who doesn't answer her phone.
Kate, if I can't hear it. But anyway, Kate.
Anyway, you're listening to Kate Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, UTV 66, that's right. And 99.9 FM on the East Campus, east side of campus. This is the UFM show. We are in our second hour, 9:17. Wow. But where has this time gone?
I don't know.
We haven't even gotten to the discussion with me about the Intermountain Paranormal Society yet.
That's right. We'll get there.
But we want to encourage anybody who has a dream to still give us a call. You know, we want to interpret your dreams as best as we can and everything, and we want to hear your dream stories because they're really interesting. I'm going to write that down, screaming.
You know, some people have some really entertaining dreams, too. You know?
I do, in particular.
No, but my friend Steve-O just text messaged me, and he said he had another dream where he was Christ on the cross, but the funny thing was that he wasn't worried about being, like, nailed or speared.
Hmm.
He just kept worrying about where the splinters were.
You should encourage your friend Steve-O to call in.
He can't. He's at work.
Oh.
Unfortunately. But that is a very interesting dream.
How's he listening to the radio when he's...
Because apparently you can listen to the radio while you're at work.
You just can't call in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
I used to do that. I used to listen to the radio when I was at work. So.
Yeah, it was. Didn't you say it was the cheesy 80 music, though, when you worked at, what was it, Costco?
Oh, Shopko.
Shopko, okay.
No, I meant when I had, like, a desk job. I would listen to the radio at work, but yeah. Shopko loops the cheesy music, that's for sure.
At least it's like, did they play a lot of Michael McDonald? Because that would get annoying.
Well, I don't even know.
You don't even know who Michael McDonald is?
Well, I know who he is, but I don't know what songs he sings.
But anyway, 801-585-3449 is the number. 801-585-3449 is the number to call the UFM show. We're talking tonight about dreams.
That's right. So, if you have an interesting dream or a dream that you're curious about the meaning of, please call in, and we will do our best to interpret it.
Yes, and I'm looking this up on Wikipedia. The Nightmare on Elm Street directly involves lucid dreams, where the heroes have to fight Freddy.
There you go.
And the third one, I have to say, was terrible. The entire series has just been a complete disappointment for me, because I'm a child of the 80s. I love the 80s. I love the 80s. I'll admit it. I don't care. I love retro music. I love the movies of the 80s. I was born in the 80s, so... but The Nightmare on Elm Street, dealing with lucid dreams, it's just terrible. The acting is terrible, especially in the third one. Like, it's called Dream Warriors. That's a dumb title for a name, or right. For a movie.
I'll have to watch them.
The whole series. Yeah, you have to watch the whole series, because you can't start, like, at number 3, because you'll be lost.
Okay.
But I've got number 4 coming. It should be in my mailbox right now. I should have checked that tonight when I edited the HC.
You and your Netflix.
Yeah, and me and my Netflix. And my crappy HC food.
Oh. I'm so glad I don't have to eat at the Heritage Center anymore.
I envy you. I wish I could cook my own food because that stuff sucks.
Did you know that there is a kitchen in the basement of 811?
Yes, I did.
Then cook.
Well, there's actually a microwave and there's no stove or anything in my dorm, but...
No, there's like a full kitchen in the basement of 811 with like an oven.
Oh, actually,
and a stove
I didn't know that, but I thought,
So, my RA told me that when I lived in that building. But
I think we're done with lucid dreams.
I think
we're done.
Right. All right, what's the next one?
We are going to start on talking to about death and the ghosts. A couple weeks ago when we did the ghost show, I'm terribly sorry I forgot this, but we. Forgot to talk about the most haunted places around Salt Lake City.
That's right. And we have a list of them. What website did you get this from?
It's a big website, but you can just go to Google and search haunted places of Utah and you'll come up with it. I can't read this on air. It's just too big of a website. Sorry. But any place can be haunted, of course. We all know that. But these are the most predominant haunted places in the state of Utah. in the city of Salt Lake City, actually, not the state of Utah. The state of Utah's got tons of haunted places, but Utah or Salt Lake City itself has a lot of haunted places. Area 51 Dance Club. I didn't know if you knew that was haunted.
You told me that. We were talking about it. We read all these together.
That's right.
But explain what part. There's a certain part of Area 51 that's haunted, though.
And I don't know if you guys know where Area 51 is, but it's down by Denny's downtown.
It's on, I believe it's on
5th South.
It's on Fourth West.
Fourth West.
I'm not sure what the South is, though, but
it's like 300 South or something like that. Or no, it's going the other way. It's like 700 South. No.
You know what? I know it's downtown. It's on 4th West, though.
But we have a caller.
Thank you for calling, Kate.
Hi, I was wondering if you can help me understand my dream.
Okay, we can do that.
One time I had this dream that I was babysitting this girl, and I was cooking dinner for her, and I was making dinner, and we pulled it out of the oven, and it was like a casserole with bees, like honeybees.
Huh.
And we're all, oh, that looks really good. Like, we were looking forward to eating it, and I actually tasted it, and I was like, oh, this is good, but that's so weird.
That's really weird.
I found babysitting, to dream that you're babysitting suggests that you need to care for the child within yourself.
Okay.
So take better care of your child than your inner child. I guess.
Okay.
Look up castle.
Castle? Okay, I'll look up castle. Oh, there's a cat meowing in the background. We always like to have our animal guests as well.
That's right.
What was that?
All right.
Okay, castle, I'm not seeing. It's in here somewhere.
No, right there. It was a casserole.
Casserole? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not castle. What were you thinking, Kia?
I obviously can't hear tonight. I apologize.
I'm sure casserole's not going to be in here. What about...
look at bees.
Bees? Okay.
I heard that.
Bees will be in here.
That probably should denote something, because I don't think dreaming of a casserole with bees in it is... it's probably not something common.
Okay, bees. Where are you?
Huh.
No, nothing. I don't have anything on bees.
Well, there you go.
Sorry about that.
Let me see if there's anything in my dream dictionary about it.
Oh, wait a minute. I have beehive.
Oh, okay. There's bees in here. It says, okay. Bees signify pleasant and profitable engagements.
Huh.
Well, there you go.
That's interesting.
So.
Cool.
That is.
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. I don't know what was going on in the background of that call, but...
It's all good.
It's all good, yeah. We're not going to butt into your personal business. Anyway, we were describing the most haunted places in Salt Lake City. Area 51 is somewhere...
It's downtown.
Please somebody call and tell us where Area 51 is.
It's downtown. I know it's on 4th West. I just can't... I can't pinpoint...
Right by Denny's.
I'm thinking it might be 4th South, but I'm not sure.
No, it's not 4th South. It's farther down. It's like 6th or 8th, 7th, I'm thinking.
Well, anyway, it's in that general area.
But anyway, in the middle stall of the upstairs woman's bathroom, that's where you'll see most of the activity.
And we have another caller.
Thank you for calling, Kate.
Hey, Area 51 is at 451 South and 400 West.
Thank you very much.
I told you it was on 4 South.
Well, there you go. That shows you how much I know about Salt Lake. You know, when I first came here, I was so confused with the grid system.
I love it.
Because I'm from Wyoming. I'm from Wyoming. Somebody keyed my car.
That's right. Somebody did key your car, and that's not nice to do.
Yeah. Bastards.
But anyway, okay, so in the women's bathroom in Area 51, the upstairs one, right?
Yeah.
It says that crying can be heard, and even this has been reported by even people who have not been drinking. And they've reported feeling nauseous and lightheaded when they walk into the bathroom. It says the door to the stall, although replaced and worked on constantly, has problems staying shut.
So
and apparently, a young woman either accidentally or intentionally overdosed on cocaine and died, and that's who haunts it. So, but would you like to tell them about the rest of the places.
The City County Building, isn't that the...
It's downtown. It's on State Street, across from the courthouse.
That's the big building, right? The one with the
clock.
Clock,
the
yeah.
clock tower.
Reports of 5 ghosts are in this building. And you said actually that something about the ghost is in the tower primarily?
Yeah, I think when I was in third grade, my class went on a field trip, and we got to go up behind the clock. And the guy that was giving us a tour of the building said that there is a ghost that stays behind the clock, that is in the clock tower. But he also said that a lot of the night crew can hear, like, people running, like, up and down the hallways, and they hear children laughing and whatnot, so. But what does that say about it?
It says, 2 children, a brother and a sister, were killed in the building of the structure. A woman who is believed to be the mother of the children also haunts. A pioneer judge and an old mayor of Salt Lake are the ghosts that haunt the Pioneer Capitol building.
And we have a caller.
Thank you for calling KU.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Well, I have a, are you still talking about dreams?
Yeah, go ahead, by all means.
All right, well, I have these dreams. Have you seen the movie Alien or Aliens?
Mm-hmm, I've seen both of them.
Well, every once in a while, I have these dreams about aliens, and there's one in particular that I remember that was really scary and pretty graphic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want me to go into detail, but...
What do you think, Jeff?
Go ahead.
But anyway, what happened in my dream is I was going into this house somewhere. It's like in the prairie, and it was a fairly big house, and I was with Sigourney Weaver, and like all of a sudden I got this bad feeling, like, oh, I'm with Sigourney Weaver, something bad is going to happen. And so we like walked into this house, and we were walking down this long corridor with doors on both sides inside the house, and we opened up the door on the end of the hallway, and we walked in, and she said something like, uh-oh, something's about to happen. And right then, there's some people in the room, like, that we opened up the door. And right then, the aliens from Aliens started, like, grabbing these people and sucking them into these cabinets and these drawers and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And they were, like, all screaming and stuff. And so Sigourney Weaver was trying to push me out of the way, but she got, like, taken by one of the aliens, too. So it was just me left. And then, so I was trying to get out there, and I'm scared for my life. And, I was trying to get out of there, and I turn around, and one of the aliens grabbed me by the arm, and it starts ripping off my flesh.
Ooh.
And I could see, like, my bones and stuff, and I'm, like, screaming, and I'm trying to, like, get it off of me, and I just kind of, finally, like, let's go or whatever.
Huh.
And I'm running out of there, but I have, like, a skeleton for an arm.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
And I've had dreams, like, every time, like, I watch Aliens, or it used to be every time I watched Aliens or Alien that I'd have those nightmares.
Oh.
Well, every once in a while, I still have a dream about aliens, and sometimes they get me at the end. Like, they're like, I'll, like, be running around a corner away from something,
mm-hmm.
and there'll be an alien standing there, and they'll just get me, and I'll wake up. But other times, I start fighting back, and I heard your caller before mention about fighting back, and so...
Yeah.
Do you have anything about aliens in your dream?
I'm actually looking up aliens right now. It says to dream that you are an alien. To see aliens in your dream signifies that you are having difficulties adapting and adjusting to your new surroundings.
Hmm.
Had you like recently moved to some place or?
Well, I moved 2 years ago to a new place,
I've had
alien dreams while I was here, but I don't necessarily remember any alien dreams that happened right when I was about ready to move.
And it has something to do with feeling alienated.
It's
kind of weird, though. I mean, it's some of the dreams they get me, and some of the dreams I do start fighting back. But, I mean, it's always really creepy, and I always wake up, like, really scared, my heart pounding and stuff. And some of it gets pretty graphic, too.
That's interesting.
True story.
Well, that's cool. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Have a good night.
Oh, it makes me mad that my car was keyed.
I'm sorry.
And it was at the dorms, too. Somebody at the dorms keyed my car. So, I don't know.
Oh, well.
Goes from my...
Anyway, so, on to the most haunted places in Salt Lake. The Devereaux Mansion.
The Devereaux Mansion, where's that at?
I have no idea. I really don't.
How long have you lived in Salt Lake?
I was born here.
There's been sightings of an 8-year-old little girl you can see in the upstairs window. That sounds a lot like the mansion that I would like to go to.
The McCain Mansion?
McCune,
whatever.
Yeah. That's on our list of haunted places. She can be seen in pictures taken by visitors in the 1850s. So it's an eight-year-old little girl that's been there since the 1850s, haunting the upstairs windows in the Devereaux Mansion.
So if you know where the Devereaux Mansion is, let us know.
If that caller that called us in about Area 51 knows where the Devereaux Mansion is.
That's right.
The DMA building, West Temple. What's the DMA building? The Department of Motor... I don't know.
I have no idea.
We'll skip that one. The Salt Lake City Cemetery. It's a little on the south side above 1150 East and 335 North. It's actually inside the Salt Lake City. It's Lily's tombstone. This lady's tombstone that reads, Victim of the Beast, 666.
See, now that's kind of creepy. I mean, who would put that on a headstone? That's just scary. And it actually does say that. We've seen pictures of it.
Online, yeah.
Online. So the headstone actually does say...
Victim of the Beast.
666.
The Salt Lake Jet Center is also haunted. All faucets in the bathroom will turn on automatically when no one is there, and all toilets in the men's bathroom will flush at the same time. Must be a very... The ghost must have a very full bladder. And it keeps going to the bathroom.
Either that or he's very sanitary.
There you go. Poly lights will go on and off when you walk down them. Noises, little people, like people whispering behind you in hangers, cold spots, and weird activity. Hmm. That's all been reported at the Salt Lake Jet Center. Again, I don't know where that's at either. It's probably out by the airport. The Shiloh Inn, I know, it is on North Temple, right?
I think so. It's downtown. It's kind
right
of
by the temple.
It's a little
across
bit
from the temple.
Yeah, it's a little bit down the street from Crossroads Mall. It's the one with the there's the glass elevator on the outside, and
yeah.
it's got red lights on it.
And this one is actually home of some significant activity. If somebody can send us a link to the news page.
Yeah, we tried to look for the news story. Well, here's the background of why this is haunted. It says sightings of, let's see, people have said that there's strange echoing laughter in the indoor pool next to the lobby, which is said apparently somebody died in the pool area. We have yet to find that news article. And also it says the pinball machine by the exit to parking on the upper level, it plays by itself on several occasions. And the reason why the Shiloh Inn is famous is because I believe it was in the 1960s or 70s. There was a family staying on one of the top floors of the Shiloh Inn, and the father believed he was Jesus, and he took his own life and told his wife that they needed to take their lives as well. So the mother and one of the daughters helped throw the other children off the top balcony, and then they jumped. But one child survived. But it's said to believe that family haunts the building. And there's three rooms at the top, isn't there, that they said to have been, that they were staying in. And they have people that work at the front desk of the Shiloh Inn report getting phone calls from those rooms, even when nobody's staying in them. So, but we tried to search for the actual news article of this family's death, and we have yet to find it. I know it was in the Tribune.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember it happening since I wasn't here, but I remember hearing about it.
Well, it happened in the 60s.
Oh, I remember hearing about it, you know, when I got here.
Yeah.
From other people.
So if you guys know a way to find the actual news link that was in the newspaper about this family's death, let us know, because we'd like to read it. But... So, yeah, the Shiloh Inn is very famous for that.
And the Capitol Theater, where you like to go a lot.
To the opera, that's
to
right.
To the opera. Reports of malfunctioning equipment. The Capitol Theater is actually not far from Shiloh.
It's
actually
right across the street. Right up the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reports of malfunctioning equipment. The elevator has been known to open without anybody pushing it. There's actually connections to this. I remember reading an article about the Capitol Theater's hauntings. It's connected to the Shiloh Inn. I mean, they've recorded EVPs there of a woman saying, don't, a daughter, actually, a younger girl saying, don't do it, mommy, or something like that.
Huh.
And, of course, with the Shiloh Inn that we were just talking about, there has been apparitions seen on the ground below, where the children probably landed.
Oh, that's right.
And there has been apparitions seen in the rooms that they stayed in. So one of these days, I am going to...
Stay in those rooms?
No, not stay in the room, but do an investigation.
Huh.
Shiloh Inn's got to be expensive. I can't afford that right now.
Oh, I don't... Well, it might be. I don't know.
The McCune Mansion, though. This is the one that we're going to go to.
Okay.
You and I... I have to tell you guys, I formed a paranormal society last week when I did an investigation of the Fort Douglas Cemetery. Actually, right after the ghost show was over with.
Yes, that's right.
And I brought a video camera out there and a picture camera, and I was taking pictures and recording video at the same time. I didn't have my tape recorder with me because it's still at home. I haven't been home in weeks, so I need to go home and get it. But, yeah... You can go to my website, ubstudios.com right now, ubstudios.com, and there's a link on the left on the main page for the IMPS, Intermountain Paranormal Society. You can see my findings of the Fort Douglas. It's pretty creepy.
Well, you went twice.
We went
together the first time, and I got scared and went back to the car.
Worse.
Hey, there was... Okay, we heard somebody walking behind us when we were stopped, and there was nothing behind us, and that was enough for me, and I went back in the car. But Justin returned a second time to the cemetery, and he did take a lot of pictures, and you can definitely see something in a couple of the pictures. They're pretty creepy, so you should go check them out. But, yes, so tell us more about your society, your Intermountain Paranormal...
Intermountain Paranormal Society, IMPS. I actually just formed that because... since I travel a lot between Wyoming and Utah, and I travel a lot around the West, actually, other than that, other places, I thought there might as well be some society other than just like the Utah Ghost Hunter Society or something like that that's specifically stays in Utah, that travels around, that can go between Utah and Wyoming, and that's really what I do. And it's non-for-profit, you know.
Yeah.
All we're doing is just, we're curious. We go and find out stuff just for... The pure research side of it. So I would like to stay in the McCune Mansion one of these weekends.
Here, read what this website says about the McCune Mansion.
Okay, the McCune Mansion is located on Main Street, North Main Street. It's up by the Capitol, I believe.
Yes, I think that's right.
Doors locking, they don't have locks on them. Cold spots. As the owner drives away, he looks into his rearview mirror and sees lights going on and off all throughout the unoccupied house. It's actually a bed and breakfast now. The mansion is haunted by a little blonde girl, about 11 or 12 years old. She is seen walking in and out of the big mirror on the west wall. We're going to have to look for this. And she has been seen walking in the rooms that have known to rearrange items and indeed lock doors.
This is going to scare the heck out of me.
People,
you know that,
I don't care. We're going to go. People that have seen her say she looks like a little yellow... Bleh. I'm lost. A young girl depicted in a painting in the house. Lights come on and off on all hours of the night, and witnesses have seen footprints that begin and end in the middle of the room. We're going to do this, though. The McCune Mansion. Yeah. The IMPS is going to do an investigation.
You know, I told you I'd go with you, and I will, but I'm still going to get the crap scared out of me. I can tell you now. But... Yes, so, and you know, I don't think that there's probably a lot of the old mansions in downtown Salt Lake are probably haunted, but Memory Grove is haunted. All of you know that's the Memory Grove is a park up in the avenues. Apparently, it says there's a story of a lady who was killed the night of her wedding walking across B Street. And if you go to the spot where she was hit and you park your car and turn off the lights, you can see her cross the street in her wedding dress.
I don't know if I necessarily believe that.
We have not tried doing that, but if you want. It also says voices have been heard on tape recorders of a girl's whisper asking
EVPs.
For help. Yeah, EVPs.
Electronic voice phenomenon, by the way. For those of you who didn't listen to the ghost show last week and we don't like you. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm just kidding.
But...
Anyway, yeah, the IMPS, is the Intermountain Paranormal Society, is going to do an investigation on the McCune House, which we just talked about.
And that's going to be really fun. I'm going to bring my video camera. One of us has to hold the picture camera.
I will be taking the pictures, and Justin will be manning the video camera.
Because there's only two of us so far in this Intermountain Paranormal Society.
So if anybody else wants to go with us, let us know.
Yeah.
Because we would like to have somebody bring a tape recorder.
Yes.
To see if we can get any EVPs as well.
And send us a fast flash if you're interested.
So, yes, it would always help. The more the merrier.
And somebody actually sent us an article that talks about the Shiloh Inn.
Oh, really?
And it was actually known as the International Dunes Inn prior to being known. It was actually 1978.
When that happened?
August of 1978. I knew it was in August. It says right here, the Shiloh Inn, formerly known as the International Dunes Hotel, the inn was the site of a horrific murder-suicide in the August of 1978, when a mother led her 7 children to the balcony of her 11th floor hotel room and tossed them one by one over the railing before jumping herself. The tragedy occurred just days after the woman's husband committed suicide. So, I've heard conflicting reports.
Yeah.
The one we read a couple weeks ago on air said the father committed suicide at the same time.
Yeah. But, well, at least we know that he committed suicide. We just don't know.
We knew that. That's that part of the story is true.
We just don't know when. If it was, I mean, this one says before. The one that we read earlier said it was during. So.
Okay. And it also talks about how sounds of children still emanate from the building. They actually give tours.
They do.
Like I said, like I told Kia a couple of weeks ago, we're going to have to go there.
Yeah. Well, we need to call him and ask him.
Yeah.
So.
And I'll do that Monday. I'm actually going to give the McCoon Mansion a call on Monday and see if we can set it up for not next weekend, because I got to go to Las Vegas.
That's right.
Maybe next Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon.
Okay, we can do that.
So before the show, we can give our findings on the air.
Hey,
we'll do that.
There's an
next
idea.
Next Thursday, you guys. If we get to go to the McCoon Mansion, we're going to report our findings. And back to the hauntings, haunted places of Salt Lake City. The old mill. I'm not sure exactly where this old mill is. I think it's up by the zoo.
You know what? We saw a picture of it, and it kind of looks like it is up. And it might be actually in, this is the Place State Park.
Mm-hmm.
The park that's right across the street from the Hogle Zoo. So, but what does it say for the old mill, Justin?
It says, ghosts of 2 variants and their dog who died in a fire still haunt the building. So, there you go. That's the old mill. And the old Utah Theater. I'm not sure where the old Utah Theater is.
I don't know where that is either.
In the costume room, shadowy figures have been seen. The Rio Grande Train Station, that's down by the gateway.
Mm-hmm.
You can go here, and you can go to a girl's bathroom, and the government has been getting phone calls from the elevator in the Rio Grande, which is now a restaurant.
Yeah, the Rio Grande Cafe, which actually, I just realized that my mom was supposed to go to either tomorrow or today, so I'll have to...
You should ask her to look for it.
I'll have to ask her. In the phone booth, or the phone booth in the waiting area, that's supposedly haunted, right?
Yeah, and they've been getting phone calls from the elevator as well.
Okay.
The lady has been called the Blue Era, and she got hit by a train when her husband threw her wedding ring out on the tracks.
Yeah, and for all of you who didn't know this, the Rio Grande Cafe... is actually, it's attached to, like, it's inside the Rio Grande train station, which is now the Utah Historical Society, right?
Yeah.
There's a museum in there, and so that's said to be haunted as well, but I'll have to send my mom on a mission to see if she can see any ghosts.
Okay, and the Masonic Temple, I actually looked this up on a website a couple days ago. It's down on one of the Temple Streets. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounded like, I think it's North Temple.
I have no idea.
It was built in 1926 and 1927. We have a caller.
We have a caller.
Thank you for calling the UFM.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about the 11 people that jumped off the balcony or were pushed.
It was actually 7.
What?
7.
Was it 7?
Yeah.
7 kids and then the mom.
Yeah, okay. So 8.
All right, because from what I remember, the story goes that there was a... an LDS man in the area who believed the church was actually an error.
Uh-huh.
He came to think that he was God.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And he prophesied, like, the end of the world and that he had to die first. So he drove up a canyon and, like, put his mouth over the exhaust pipe of his truck and committed mm-hmm. suicide.
Yeah.
That's the story we heard.
Yeah, and then told his wife to push their children off this balcony or something like that.
Yeah, that's the story that we heard.
Yeah.
And one of the kids actually survived, didn't they?
Yeah.
I believe so.
One of the kids survived. So, I wonder if that person's probably still alive. If that happened in the 70s.
My phone's ringing. Yeah.
It just fell off the window, so way to go. All right, well, thank you for calling in and letting us know.
God, that's really annoying.
What the story is. Justin, you need a better ringtone.
Yeah, I know. I know it's my parents calling me, though, because I know that ringtone.
Okay, so anyway, back to this list. Okay, West High is haunted. I'm sure all of you know, in Utah, where West High is, it's down on 4th West at about 4th North, about, I don't know. I know it's by my mom's work, that's all I know. It's the oldest high school in the state, and people have seen shadows in the hallways and in the classrooms. And also, catacombs run under the school to the temple and to the fairgrounds, and reports say a men's restroom is bricked up so no one can get into it.
This guy that reported the website says he knows of 4 students that committed suicide there, and the basement has a cold, dark feeling. A lot of basements do, though.
Well, that's true. But, so yes, West High is haunted.
And, of course, Westminster College is haunted as well.
That's right. Westminster's been around for a while.
Hoggle Hall, Noonmaker, and Sugar House. The older dorms are supposed to be haunted. And get this, the ZCMI department store is haunted. So it's haunted by an old cook that used to work there. That's the incomplete list, and it doesn't have Fort Douglas on this, I don't think. But Fort Douglas, of course, is haunted.
Definitely. As we mentioned on the Ghost Show, Fort Douglas is definitely haunted.
And like I said, if you want to go to my website right now, ubstudios.com, ubstudios.com, and on the main page, there's a link on the left-hand side that says Intermountain Paranormal Society. You'll find my findings.
What was that? Was that your phone?
No.
That was kind of weird. That wasn't my phone.
We're going to have to listen to this after the show's over and see what that was.
Maybe we have a ghost calling in. Turn the music down.
You can hear an EVP on the radio. Yeah.
There you go.
But anyway, yeah, that's the haunted places of Salt Lake City. And I want you to actually ask me these questions, from question 5 on down there on that list.
All right, this is a good question. All right, where are some of the best places to see ghosts, not only in Utah, but around the world?
Well, of course, here in the United States, the White House is haunted, of course, by several ghosts.
Probably mostly former presidents.
Yeah, Abraham Lincoln is said to haunt the White House. And, one of the most notable places, probably the most haunted places in the world is the Tower of London.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
In London, it's got, let's see.
I actually think the History Channel has a whole show about the hauntings at the Tower of London.
Okay.
But I know New Orleans is haunted.
Oh, yeah, the French Quarter in particular is haunted.
Gino, if you're listening, my friend Gino goes to school in New Orleans.
Give us some insight on what...
If you are not at work and you're able to call in or text me, let me know if you've seen any paranormal things happen in the French Quarter, because I know that there's a lot of clubs that you go out to at night, and I know that most of the time you've been walking around there down at night, and if you've seen anything, text me or call in and let me know, because I know they had something on the History Channel about the French Quarter as well. But
the Tower of London actually is host to several ghosts. Anne Boleyn.
She is the mother of Queen Elizabeth I.
Yes.
She was beheaded.
Uh huh.
Because her husband Henry VIII was crazy and beheaded just about all of his wives, and he believed that she was a witch, and so because back in the day you couldn't get a divorce, so she got beheaded.
Hey, it's Dean Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Hey, Kia. Nice to hear your voice again.
thanks. And who is this?
Who do you think? The only one that calls you on the radio because he loves you, so...
Frankie?
Of course.
Hi, Frankie. What's up?
Nothing much.
So, have you seen any paranormal activity? You're in California, in Northern California.
Yeah.
So?
I have never seen any paranormal activity that I know of. Like, my friends have claimed that, lights would go on and off and cupboards have slammed in their house, but I've never actually seen or heard any of it.
Okay.
So I couldn't really say that, yes, I have, but I do believe that there is something out there other than us, you know?
Well, that's true. What do you think about, like, you know, people post pictures of ghosts on the internet all the time. What do you think about that? Do you think any of them are real, or they're all fake, or what?
I think there has to be at least a few real ones, but trying to capture something that is an illusion in your head, or, you know, I don't know. It seems a little far-fetched to be able to capture something on camera.
Huh. Do you know... of anybody who claims to have seen any ghosts or anything like that?
Not really. Me and a friend of mine, Gino, went out to this weird kind of abandoned park type thingamajigger, and it, like, you could hear footsteps all around you, and it was kind of creepy that way, but I think it was just our minds playing tricks on us, personally.
That's kind of like what happened to me and Justin. Up at the U, we have an Army Reserve base that's been here forever, and they have a cemetery, and we did a ghost show, like, 2 weeks ago, and and that we heard the exact same thing when we were walking around the cemetery, and that's what freaked me out, and I went back to the car. So, but, well, if you ever see a ghost, let me know.
All right. Will do.
So, but thank you for calling, Frankie. It's good to
talk
to you.
No problem. I thought we were talking about dreams tonight.
Oh, we still are. Do you have a dream to share with us?
Actually, yes.
All right, then.
My whole belief is your mind does comprehend things that are going to happen before they happen, so it does give you some sort of glimpse of it in your dream. Cool. I've had many occasions where it's not anything important, just like me hanging out with friends, but it'll be an exact conversation in that dream that I will relive a month later out of the dream.
That's crazy.
So it's your mind's eye or pure coincidence, but it does happen. Like that eerie sense of deja vu. I've done this before, but where? And then you think back and it's your dream. And I've done that quite a bit. I don't dream often anymore. I wake up and forget it, or don't dream at all or whatnot, but when I do dream, I always relive something in the dream, whether it be in the next day, the next week, the next month. It always happens.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
As long as the dream is semi-realistic, you know, if I'm running around fighting aliens, no. But,
hey, you never
if
know.
It's, you know, hanging out with friends and dealing with stuff, then yeah, it does happen.
Huh. Well, that's a very interesting concept that, you know, stuff in your dreams happens months later.
So. Yeah. Well, another thing I believe is it's also unrelenting thoughts that you refuse to, you know, you put in the back of your head that come back to haunt you.
Like, it's kind of like what your subconscious is really telling you.
Yeah. What it thinks you should be doing and what you are doing are two separate things, and it's trying to show you what, you know, it's thinking, you know. Almost like two personalities in the back of your head.
Yeah.
There's the one that's up front and talks to everyone, and then there's the other one that talks to you. But
yeah.
It can't talk to you directly, it talks to you through your dreams.
Well, there you
it's
go.
Like, it's like the id. I don't know if you had psychology, but it's like the id. There's like a thing called the id. There's the ego and the super ego.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember those, but I don't remember what they mean.
Oh. The super ego is like what you really, really never see. Or hear of from your brain.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, thank you for calling, Frankie.
Oh, no problem.
It's always a pleasure hearing from you.
And it's always a pleasure hearing your voice again.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Yeah.
Yep, you guys too.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
Wow. Sounded like it was pretty busy in the background there.
Yeah, Frankie's always busy doing something.
That's cool.
He's a busy kid.
Yeah, he really explained, though, a lot about what dreams really are and everything. It's just a whole inner...
Somebody actually sent us a fast flash while Frankie was talking to us that has a picture of the lady who is the lone survivor of
the Shiloh Inn.
The Shiloh Inn disaster in 1978.
And she is still alive.
Yes.
It says that she's living in Aurora, Colorado with her uncle, and her uncle still believes that her late father is God. So, apparently her uncle is still pretty crazy, like the rest of her family was. So.
Yeah.
And it looks like she's in a wheelchair, so.
Yeah, she probably sustained some injuries during the fall.
Yeah, but it's still very amazing that she
survived.
Her
name is...
Rachel, I think.
Rachel David.
Rachel David was the lady, or the one child that survived the tragedy at the Shiloh Inn.
Yes.
So.
This is an interesting article. Thank you for sending that from that flash flash. I'll have to bookmark this. Send it to myself.
Well, there you go.
But there you go. That's... We have... Okay, actually, we're going to do a quick recap of the dreams that we had. And this is not accounting for all of them, because I started writing them pretty late. But we had a dream. We had a caller with a dream of Hall & Oates on a ski.
A ski lift.
Ski lift. Hands and a car. I remember that was the fast flash we got. The superhero in the sock. That was funny. I hate to say it. But grandma and the back. That was the lady that called us.
That's right.
Medicine for your bike. That was your friend.
Steve-O's dream.
The seal in the prison, that was that one guy that called us. And mm-hmm. The screaming dream was that other guy that called us.
Yeah, where his fiance was actually physically screaming while she was sleeping. So
now it's getting kind of cold in here.
A little bit.
But that's it. That's actually a good sign because we're almost out of here. The UFM show is almost over for this evening. Next week, we're going to be doing a UFO special. We're going to give you the recap on what happened at the McCoon Mansion, if anything.
Are we doing that this weekend?
No, this weekend? I guess we could do it this weekend.
Or do you want to do it on Thursday, next Thursday?
We could do it this weekend, actually, because that would be better. That would be a lot better for me.
Okay. Let's try and do it on Sunday.
Sunday? I'll give them a call tomorrow and see what their hours are.
Okay.
So, we're going to go to the McCoon Mansion either this weekend or Thursday. We don't know when yet.
Or sometime next week.
Or sometime next week before I go to Vegas. Hey, I'm 22. I can do it.
Why are you going to Vegas again?
To film a movie.
Oh, that's right.
To film a mockumentary.
I want to go to Vegas. Oh.
You can't come with me, though.
Why?
Because I said so. I'm just kidding. Well, if you want to buy a plane ticket, I've already purchased tickets.
Oh, no. I can't buy
a plane ticket. Yeah, I'm flying. I'm flying down there, so. Do you want to drive my car down there? I don't know if it'd make it, but.
My car would.
Yeah, it's because you got a Ford.
That doesn't make any sense.
Well, I know. That's in better shape than my car is. And your car didn't get keyed.
That's true.
Which is bull crap. Anyway, that's it for us here at the UFM show. Thank you guys for calling. That was a fun dream show.
That was really fun. So, and if you have, you know what, if you ever have any dreams that you want to be interpreted, you know, I own this dream dictionary, so those of you who know me, you can, you know, send me a message on MySpace or call me and ask me or whatever. And, you know, you can also send a message to Justin on his MySpace profile.
That's my Stew Boy.
That's my Stew Boy. That's his MySpace link. And we will try to interpret your dream as best we can.
Yep. And I think that about does it for us. I was going to talk about the ghost in the Tower of London, but I never got to it.
Well, let's do it right now.
Okay, we have a few minutes.
There you go.
Since the guys that were before us... They stayed later. Thomas Becket is a ghost in the Tower of London.
I don't know.
Do you know who Thomas Becket is? It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
I don't know who Thomas Becket is, but I do know who Anne Boleyn is. So.
And the king and the ghosts of King Edward V of England, Richard Duke of York, and the princes in the Tower. I actually have a Time Life book that has these princes, these young kids who were considered illegitimate, were murdered in the Tower. And you can see their ghosts there. This is all in the Tower of London, by the way. Lady Jane Grey.
I think Jane Grey was another wife of Henry VIII, but I'm not positive
on
that.
No, I don't think so. She was like a 14-year-old when she died.
Huh. Click on her and see what they say.
Yeah, she was only 14. No, wait a minute.
She was. Oh, she was a great granddaughter of Henry the Seventh.
That doesn't make sense. You see this? What this says? Oh, never mind. That's rain. Never mind. It doesn't say born. I was gonna say, well, that's only
that
a year old.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, but she was the great granddaughter of Henry the Seventh of England. So there you go. And she's she was executed in the Tower of London. Sir Walter Raleigh.
I don't know who that is.
That sounds really familiar to me. That guy, he was a famed English writer and poet. That's right.
Okay.
Margaret Pohl and Warren Hastings. I don't know who these people are. But the cities of... he's got a fast flash that said Lady Jane was not there.
Yeah, we've stabbed.
I think that's where that book that I was talking about on the air a couple of weeks ago was, where the guys, the sailors saw that, was from. Rhineham Hall, boy, I'm losing my voice, has the Brown Lady of Rhineham Hall, and there's a picture of her on Wikipedia here. It's a ghost.
It's kind of a creepy picture, too. You can actually see it. I don't think it's fake.
It's definitely not fake.
So if you go to... I can't even
Wikipedia.org.
Thank you. Wikipedia.org.
And search for notable ghosts. You'll find this article that I'm reading. London, England, Biggin Hill is reported. It was used to be a World War II base. Biggin Hill. The White House, of course, we already mentioned that, is haunted by Abraham Lincoln. Oh, you know what? My phone is beeping because I have a message.
Yeah, but that noise that we heard...
was not a beep.
It wasn't a beep. It was something weird.
Okay. Witcher of King of Saul. What is this place? It doesn't say
the
place.
Witch of Endor.
Witch of Endor. That's Alcatraz, also in San Francisco, is purportedly haunted by a number of ghosts of prisoners. That's probably really obvious that Alcatraz is going to be haunted. A lot of prisons are haunted, the older ones in particular, especially the ones in Rawlins, Wyoming.
You know what? I think I saw something on... I'm obviously obsessed with the History Channel. That's all I watch.
Yeah.
But, you know, around Halloween, the History Channel and Discovery Channel, you know, they always show, like, haunted places in America and whatnot. And I believe they had a... you know, they featured a couple prisons around the United States that are haunted. Mm-hmm. Some of them are abandoned prisons, and some of them are actually still used, but I think you're right. A lot of prisons that have been around for a long time are probably haunted, especially if, you know, a lot of people get executed there. So
the city of New Orleans is sometimes called America's most haunted city, so there you go, particularly the French Quarter.
Yeah, New Orleans, they have dozens and dozens of ghost sightings all the time. So... especially, you know, there's a lot of restaurants and hotels and whatnot in the French Quarter, and they all, a lot of people that have stayed there, you know, pretty much if you stay there, chances are you're gonna have like an 80% chance of seeing something or hearing something.
Man, I gotta go to New Orleans. Athens, Ohio is named one of the most haunted places in America. My mom used to.
Athens, Ohio.
My mom used to live in Athens.
What's their claim to fame? Click on it and see why it's haunted.
Oh, that's just going to take us to what Athens, Ohio is. It's often made claim that is that when there's 10 graveyards.
Oh, wow.
Ohio University is also considered to be one of the most haunted campuses in the United States of America.
Oh, read what that says. It says...
Ohio University is also considered to be some of the most haunted... It's a former state hospital.
No, let's see. It says... One oft-made claim is that when drawing a line from each of the five...
or in some versions, 10.
Graveyards, one creates a pentagram.
That claim is false. Okay. Charleston, South Carolina, like I said, has 3 centuries of history recorded under it. It's got Revolutionary War heroes, black slave ghosts, and a number of ghosts from the American Civil War. Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, the Museum of Natural Science in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, is haunted by the ghost of the Canadian Prime Minister.
Wow.
Hollywood, California. Wow. Haunted by great stars who believe the ghost remain there after death, earning the name Haunted Hollywood.
Long Beach, California.
There you go.
And it's...
Queen Mary, now permanently... It's at docked at the
Long Beach.
Queen Mary, I've heard about that.
It says it's reputed to be haunted by several ghosts. Two of the more famous hauntings are in the ship's swimming pool and in the shaft alley.
Ooh. Hey.
Music's loud. says, the area behind the engine room containing the ship's propeller shafts. Recent investigations have failed to prove any presence or activity of ghosts, and most of the phenomenon has been attributed to the basic mechanical workings of the ship.
Hmm. But I've heard different, though.
Oh, well, there's another one. It says an investigation in 2005 of the Queen Mary, conducted by a British television series Most Haunted, recorded a wet footprint leading to the former shower area on video, and using a crew member sleeping in a usually locked room where a man is said to have killed his daughter with locked off cameras, recorded the sound of the door rattling violently, which awoke the crew member.
Hmm.
After he returned to sleep, the sound of the little girl asking for her daddy was heard.
Ooh.
That's creepy.
That's creepy. And Hearst Monarch's Monseil Castle. I'm not sure where that's at. Let me find out. It's in the UK. Another castle in the UK is haunted. And I was going to look up... I have a link here that has the most haunted locations in the United States. Maybe not. Oh, here we go. Amityville. Remember the movie Amityville Horror? I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I never saw it either, but I did hear of it.
Amityville, Long Island Horror, New York.
112 Ocean Avenue in Amityville.
Amityville.
There you go, Long Island. Alcatraz.
Boone County, Illinois, has several intersecting roads on the south city of Belvedere, with a reputation of being haunted, most notably Bloods Point Road.
Wow, that's an interesting name for a road.
South Central Vermont, Cuttingsville, Douglas, we'll skip through these really quickly. Douglasville, Pennsylvania, Fairfax County, Virginia, the Bunny Man Bridge.
Huh.
Has several stories about an entity called the Bunny Man who supposedly haunts the area.
Chickamauga Battlefield
in northwestern Georgia. It's one of the most bloodiest battles of the American Civil War. Chickamauga Battlefield. Chickamauga. That sounds funny. Several buildings located on Church Street in Ontario, Florida. Orlando, Florida. Ontario, Florida. Bleh. Orlando. Austin, Texas. The Drixgill Hotel.
Let's see. Forest Park Cemetery in
Brunswick, New York. Gettysburg, of course Gettysburg has to be on there. Hollywood, of course.
Huntress Hall in Keene,
New Hampshire.
Let's see. The Lemp Mansion Restaurant Inn.
In St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, and we're going to go down here.
There's a lot of places.
Yeah, all over the United States is haunted. New Jersey.
Sunnyvale, California.
Ooh.
Many Toys R Us employees have reported seeing unusual rearranging of the toys in the aisles and reported sightings of a man in his 30s dressed in old clothing. His name is believed to be Johan, and the store still remains open today. Most customers are completely unaware of this legend.
Oh, cool. Toys R Us in Sunnyvale, California. There you go. But that's going to have to do it for us. We're going to have to get out of here.
Okay.
So
thank you for listening, and thank you to everybody who called in.
Uh-huh, we really appreciate that, and be sure to listen in next week as we have our special UFO show, and we're going to be doing we're going to have some UFO specialists on with us next week.
And we will also report our findings of the McCoon House Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and hopefully I don't get too scared.
You're not going to get scared. I'll be there.
If we see something, I'm going to scream. I'm pretty sure.
I doubt it.
Hey, you never know.
Good night, everybody. Have a good night and sleep tight and don't be scared or whatever. This is the UFM show on KU Student Radio, Channel 66 in the dorms, KU.org, and 99.9 FM. What you say if you could talk to me? What news would you bring? Of voices in the sky. Nightingale, hovering high, harmonize the wind. Darkness, your symphony, I can hear you sing. Of voices in the sky. What is
What is happening to me?